Stay tuned for 2 hours. Blog
Talk Radio.
When next up is weather, and it's the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by, and confronting white cowardice in ourselves and others. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. A gallon of gas is costing just over $3.50 per gallon. AAA station survey finds the national average price for regular is rising for the ninth time in the past 10 days. High demand and crude oil prices above $94 a barrel are fueling the highest gas prices in 8 years. The CDC director says things are moving in the right direction as the COVID Omicron wave diminishes.
Omicron cases are declining, and we are all cautiously optimistic about the trajectory we are on.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky said the CDC is assessing whether to relax mask guidelines. Dr. Anthony Fauci said booster shots continue to provide high levels of protection. The NIH veteran noted that top health officials are assessing whether a second booster shot may be recommended in the coming months. President Biden will discuss the Ukraine-Russia crisis with his German counterpart this afternoon. Chancellor Olaf Scholz met with Russian President Vladimir Putin this week. Earlier today, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the U.S. has still not verified Russian claims of some troop withdrawals from the Ukraine border. A cyber attack against the Ukrainian Defense Ministry website and banks on Tuesday was the largest in the country's history. That's according to the Ukrainian Minister of Digital Transformation, who also said it was too early to say who was responsible. Officials said the attack was coordinated and well-planned. It comes as Russia's gathered an estimated 150,000 troops at its border with Ukraine. Was former President Trump the victim of electronic espionage? Republican Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida says he believes Hillary Clinton's campaign is responsible for illegal spying in a crime worse than Watergate.
There was a lot of misinformation spread, but it was spread by the mainstream media.
He believes the Clinton campaign intercepted Trump's emails before he got elected and while he was in office looking for information pertaining to whether or not Vladimir Putin helped him get elected. A federal prosecutor says the Clinton campaign invented a story that former President Trump was using a covert server linked to Russia. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When you buy health products, you can save up to 50% at VitaminLife.com, the world's largest selection of supplements, herbs, homeopathic, health and beauty products, and more. Choose from VitaminLife.com's 30,000 products from over 700 brands, including Solaray, Jarrow Formulas, New Chapter, Country Life, Source Naturals, Nature's Way, Enzymatic Therapy, Now Foods, Doctor's Best, and Aubrey Organics. Go to VitaminLife.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative top weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see some clouds and drizzle this morning, but making way to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 49, 50 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds and low temperatures dropping down to about 40. For Thursday, more clouds and light rain expected. Highs around 48. The clouds will hang around for most of Thursday. Low temperatures back down to about 43. For Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a few sunbreaks. Highs around 49. With a chance of rain moving back in for Friday night, lows back down to about 41. For the weekend, mostly cloudy skies and light rain showers. High temperatures in the mid to upper 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We have a great show with Brett Bevel joining me here today. This is really, I'm going to say three words, and I just want you to hear them and be mindful of how you feel about them, because this is this episode with Brett, confronting white cowardice, in ourselves and in others, because this is what Brett does. And you've heard him on my show before. You've heard me talk about his fantastic book, one of his books, Healing Racism Within. You also will know him as a healer, psychic Reiki. The Wizard's Guide to Energy Healing, all of that. When you think about Brett, you really get this multidimensional aspect of what his life path and calling has been about. But today you're going to hear more. Today you're going to hear what is it about taking the pathway and being called to move forward on the pathway, any pathway that has the word racism in it. Brett, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me back on your show.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is exciting in a lot of ways. You're going to be doing this show, and then in the next half hour, I'm going to be talking about the future of an ethical Olympics in a lot of ways. And are they related or not? I don't know. But you're going to help us today. You're going to help us in the conversation. Let's talk about what we are looking at, what white cowardice looks like, how it shows up very, what's the word I want to use? Not subconsciously, maybe subliminally, but not if you're on the other end of it, but it shows up. And yet we laugh at jokes. We turn our face away. Come on, tell us. How does it show up so people get a sense of what they can be aware of to change?
Yeah, I mean, so white cowardice, for me, it's like that deeper underlying cause of what people often refer to white privilege. But to me, that term never quite felt like it went deep enough. Like, white cowardice is really that psychological, emotional component that causes us to act basically in a cowardly way when confronted with issues of race. And, you know, for example, if you are somebody who's experienced, you know, in the work environment, maybe there's a party and somebody did a blackface joke, right? And then you try to raise awareness about the inappropriateness of that. Or do you? Are you afraid to? You know, do people lash out at you if you do that? And what's the underlying cause for their lashing out? Another way to look at that would be, say you're walking down the street and, you know, you notice a group of people beating up one person and you keep walking, and then, you know, a mile later you run into another group of people beating up somebody, but this time that person's white, and so you intervene. Whereas the first time maybe you just didn't look the other way and just kept going. So it's these subtle ways that sometimes we just don't really acknowledge the way that it affects us. And it's really, you know, 500 years of programming that's living in our subconscious, in our cellular memory, and in our culture in a very deep way.
You know, and let's talk about this for a minute, the way it shows up in our mainstream and not so mainstream. And I just want to be very clear about this. When we're talking about the things we're talking about today, it really does not have a boundary. And here's what I mean about it. It doesn't have a boundary about, oh, this group is really enlightened, they don't do it. Okay, those people over there. Or this group is really, this group over here, that political party, they do it. You know, we have so categorized and wanting to point the finger rather than understand the behavior. See, if we could get an understanding behavior that doesn't have a boundary about political party, sports teams, SES, you know, whether you're in an economic group of class or not, right?
Exactly. I think of it more like if you think of the ecosystem of our society has been polluted with this energy of racism. And just like, you know, it's pretty hard to find a glass of water where you can drink that doesn't have some kind of plastic in it or some kind of pollutant in it. The same is true whether you're Republican or Democrat, or whether, you know, you consider yourself to be very progressive or not. Energetic pollutant of racism exists in everything that it surrounds us. And so what my book is about, what I'm trying to raise awareness about, is how do we begin to look at that in ourselves and then move through that and transform it in ourselves so that we can then create a better world for everyone.
You know, let's talk for a minute, if we could, about how white cowardice shows up. There are so many, many, many ways. And what I mean by that is we have really blockbuster movies that have come out, like the movie Green Book, which talked pretty much about a situation, a real live one, but the nuances of this, right? The nuances of a guy from an Italian family who decides that he's going to take a job to, you know, travel with a black musician, and it really shows the nuances, right? But the nuances have to be addressed as more than a nuance. See, we say words like nuances, and the issue really isn't that. Our behavior hurts people.
Yeah, I would say, you know, some of those, again, what you would call nuances that are actually very painful. And really quite tragic when you mm-hmm. take it on the larger scale. The biggest one that I find is silence, is that thought that often happens among white people, that we don't have to talk about the issue of race, or that we can be silent in a conversation when somebody's being racially inappropriate, that we can just sidestep the whole issue, and that you know, when you're a person of color, you don't have the choice of disengaging from that kind of behavior because you're the object of it. But as a white person, one thing I've been very strongly aware of in my path is that how I have the privilege of avoiding that conversation entirely. And then when I really dug deeper into that, I realized that's just cowardly to avoid those conversations and to not speak up when I know something is inappropriate and wrong. And so really taking that white cowardice and transforming it into the courage to speak up and to speak the truth, regardless of the consequences.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to say to people listening is that we're really talking about outcomes which take bold acts of courage sometimes. You know, I remember being younger, and there's a picture that Daniel put up yesterday of me and my table tennis coach, Sam. And I didn't talk about this yesterday because we were kind of joking about ping pong. But when you see that picture of me, a young white girl, and a black man from Ghana, Africa, and we were inseparable, I can only begin to tell you some of the stories. And the word nuance I use because it's really difficult for people to hear what the real word is. But let's talk about the situation. You're in a restaurant and you're going in, and it's Sam and I, and where everybody's going in this restaurant at competition, and we're waiting in the chair to go in. And 45 minutes passed. Four other people have been let in. An hour has passed. It's the only restaurant in the town we were playing in. An hour and a half passes, and we're still sitting there. Why? And I've got to tell you, I was naive as a kid. I mean, it didn't dawn on me until one point where I just realized, and I looked at Sam, and I said, what is happening here? And I can't remember his exact words. All I remember is I jumped up, I went to the whatever that reservation person that lets you in the place, and I made a scene because I'm in my 20s, and I don't understand that. But boy, that is a small situation for so many more actions that are happening in the world today, aren't they? That is a small example.
Yeah, it's a small example, and it's like compounded so frequently, daily, you know, in towns and cities, not just around this country, but all over the world. You know, I remember even when I used to travel to Asia quite often, how often there were, you know, commercials about cream that would turn your skin color to be whiter. When I would be traveling in Bali and Thailand, and I thought, what kind of mindset have we created around the whole world where people are ashamed of the color of their skin? I mean, it's ridiculous, and yet it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent. And one of the things that I've become much more aware of, too, in just my own growth as a parent, because I am married to a woman of color, and so my son is a little bit darker skinned than I am, and sometimes when he gets maybe passed over during the line in the gym class or some other event that we've taken him to, you know, it becomes something that we really start to question, like, hey, is that because of the color of his skin? Maybe not, but it's something that we really, has become part of our consciousness and part of our awareness, and trying to raise that awareness on a grander scale.
You know, and let's talk about this threat, that it shows up in your world and it shows up in the world all over. There's a purpose and a passion for you doing what you do. There is a purpose and a passion for understanding what this means to confront white cowardice. Now, I don't know if people even know this, but people of color have to take extra precautions just to be in the world. I'm not even going to go into it, but I'm just going to say extra precautions. Precautions that maybe as a woman I would take some of them, like you'll never find me walking down a dark street in Newark, New Jersey, right, in the middle of the night. Common sense. But that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about people that are non-white.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've learned so much of this, too, just from being in relationship with my wife, who's a mm-hmm. lovely human being, and you know, her bringing things to my awareness just regarding, you know, how she felt growing up, how she felt in terms of feeling left out of situations and often wondering, is that because, you know, her skin is darker than my skin or than many, many people's skin. And to have that be a constant factor in your life is something that it is mind-boggling for me, even though, you know, we're still married and we've been together for 20 years now. It's hard for me to imagine what life is like when you have to endure that day to day on a constant basis. And so as her partner and also as one who I consider to be, you know, recovering from my own childhood trauma around yeah. race, that these are issues that I really want to look at on a much deeper level, and that I really hope that people are willing to look at on a much deeper level.
Well, I want to ask you, what comes to mind? Let's give people some examples of what comes to mind, you know, from your perspective. You know I could sit here for an entire 5 hours and talk about the many times, every time Sam and I went out together, every time. It didn't matter, right? Now, did I find myself trying to explain who he was? Did I get to the point where I made excuses about who he was? I got to tell you, I was pretty ignorant growing up. I mean, ignorance has helped me in the world, right? Mm. But there are some real situations that we should really bring to bear on the differences between how people are treated.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a very simple example I can think of is a neighbor who used to invite me and my wife over to their house quite often. And one thing we began to notice is they would always offer me a beer, and they would never offer her anything to drink. And I'm just like, well, is that because she's a woman? I don't know. I mean, the wife seems to be drinking. Is it because of the color of her skin? And so, you know, we just don't go there anymore. We did bring it to their attention. We just stopped hanging out with them. But these may seem like very small things, but when you add it up in terms of your daily life, and then you start to think about things like, did you miss that promotion because of the color of your skin? Were you pulled over at the red light because of the color of your skin? And things like that. And then when we get into these situations where it seems almost on a daily basis now, where we learn of somebody being shot, you know, because of what seems like a simple, you know, checkpoint at a red light, and then somebody's dead. And that somebody is usually a person of color. And so what I'm really trying to dig into is what collective consciousness exists and is expressed through the mind of that policeman that ends up pulling the trigger, and how do we change that same consciousness that exists in all of us, even if it's not as blatantly expressed, and trying to look at different exercises that we can do to really engineer that change in our consciousness.
But, you know, really what you're talking about, can I just get back to something you just said, if you don't mind?
Sure.
But before we do, I want to take a minute just to remind people, my very special guest today is Brett Bevel. And if you want to find out more about Brett, everything we're talking about, all of the books that he's written, really about his passion and awakening in the world, you can go to his website, Brett, B-R-E-T-T, Bevel, B-E-V-E-L-L.com. And when you get there, you're going to see all of what we're talking about, whether we're talking about energy healing or healing racism within, which we've talked about. The body of work is here. But today on the show, what you did hear is you heard about what he is coming forward speaking about. I want to ask you this question because I've heard this more times now, Brett, and I think you're the guy that's going to help with this.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make a decision about a month ago as to how I would formulate the network as we're going through our expansion. And I don't even want to go into how many questions that were presented to me when I wanted a channel, a dedicated channel, that's going to address or have conversations about what we're talking about. But some of my very well-educated, been around the block, activist people, marching, the whole Black Lives, the whole, said to me, Pat, aren't you afraid of saying the wrong thing? And I thought about that for a minute. And then I talked to some of our hosts who actually have shows that address this issue. And I said to Anita in a show, I said, you know, we've got to take that off the table. I said, I have got to take it off the table. You've got to take it off the table. I mean, are you afraid to talk about the LGBTQ community because you left off one of the letters? Maybe you didn't say LGBTQ plus. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you said her instead of non-binary. So are we not going to talk about things because some magic person has come up with political correctness to help us understand, Brett?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that actually, as I wrote the book and as the book was, you know, going into galley prints and getting ready to come on the world, I actually had that fear. And I still have that fear sometimes. Am I going to say that something doesn't quite line up in the perfect way and then be ostracized for it when what I'm really trying to do is shed light on a really dark aspect of our consciousness that needs deep healing? And so, yeah, I'm very much in alignment with you on that. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I was doing the other day, I play sports with a lot of people that English is not their first language. And I love how they make fun of how I speak Chinese. But I don't give up. I will come out and try to pronounce and say things like ni hao. I mean, I will do it. We cannot be afraid to speak. If we are afraid to speak, we are going to be afraid to change. That is the bottom line for me.
And if we're afraid to speak, then the only alternative is silence. And silence is just being complicit with the same system that has existed for hundreds of years. So we need to be willing to speak and even acknowledge that, yeah, we might make some errors here and there, but there needs to be that openness, that willingness to have a deeper conversation and a deeper mm-hmm. dialogue.
Yeah, I think that we are really in a moment of silence right now. We have gone silent, right? The most vocal aspect of what is happening now comes from an industry that my dad was in, and he was a trucker. We all had to become Teamsters members, just saying. That's the most vocal that I've seen en masse since we started to see some of the protests. How do we get past this, Brett? How do we get past this idea of white cowardice?
Again, for me, I think it's really each of us being willing to look at it in ourselves and look at it through deep personal work, the same kind of work you would do if you're grieving the loss of a dear friend or if you're, you know, going through some other kind of trauma that you're trying to heal and using those same kind of tools. And for me, that's literally how I came to this mm-hmm. work, was that in my own journey as one who had gone through severe childhood abuse, I began to notice that some of the patterns were the same mm-hmm. with what happened to me as a child, with what was going on with the culture at large with regards to issues around race, that same kind of issues around silence and people not speaking out and there being a mm-hmm. taboo on even having the conversation. And I started using those same tools that I was working on for healing myself to actually dive deeper into these questions around race. And so that's what I think all of us need to do on whatever level, whether it's through mm-hmm. journal writing or meditation or energy work, whatever path it is that you feel comfortable in terms of self-examination, start to focus that lens on the issue of race and see where it can take you to help you enlighten your own awareness of where your own blind spots are and how to heal them and how to become a better person.
I want to jump to something that's even more subtle, but I need to talk about it because I'm really, you know, based on what I discovered about my heritage and grandfather, I've gotten acutely aware of the Latino community. My godchild, my nieces, nephews, all part of the Latino community. And I need to have a moment where we speak about that because you can be in a room and there could be people that are speaking Russian. They could be speaking Italian. They could be speaking, I don't know, like something else. And then somebody will start to speak Spanish. And that will be a person that speaks Spanish, a person that is brown, that speaks Spanish. And you watch the reaction and the resentment of people around that. Now that is a level of racism that we absolutely must look at. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I actually came from the same kind of environment, and I even talk about that somewhat in my book. I grew up, you know, both in California and in New Mexico because my parents were divorced. And in New Mexico, a lot of people for hundreds of years have been speaking Spanish. And I noticed that even though I lived with my grandparents there who outwardly professed to be very liberal and enlightened, they would get so mad about people speaking Spanish. I'm like, but why? This makes no sense. And I've had to do my own inner work to shift that upbringing that I was brought up in, you know, where I now feel almost more alive when I hear languages that are not from my own, on my own upbringing. You know, I almost feel like there's a kind of music there that I find inspiring. And so to have to unwind and change that sense of resentment, again, it's something that I had to do personally, but I know exactly what you're talking about because that's the environment in which I was raised and which makes no sense at all.
And, you know, it's interesting. May I say this?
Yeah.
I was shocked at during the primaries, Beto O'Rourke, I was shocked at the laughing and the criticism for his Spanish dialect. I wanted to reach through the TV, and I just wanted to shake some people. He's not Latino. He has learned a language because he represents that. And yet, now we're laughing at a white man. I mean, there's just no end to our lack of awareness in the humanity of what we do. Right? There were more conversations about Beto O'Rourke not speaking good Spanish than there were about the issues. And I thought to myself, I didn't know you at the time, but I bet if we would have been doing a show, you'd have had a few things to say about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that sense of, you know, again, the environment that I grew up in, this kind of weird resentment of people speaking languages that maybe they didn't grow up with. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I remember those moments in the primary, and I found them shocking, too. That
shocking.
It's just like our whole cultural spectrum is just off and unwilling to look at the deeper underlying things that we should be looking at. And again, I think that is an expression of what I call white cowardice.
Mm-hmm. I actually picked up the phone and called the gentleman who was Latino and called his office. Look, we got to stop this. I am never going to speak Italian like Sophia Loren. It is not going to happen. But I cannot be afraid to speak a dialect of Italian. I'm not going to speak Portuguese. You know, my grandfather born in Brazil. I'm not going to speak that like Giselle, Tom Brady. I'm not going to speak it like them. But does that mean we don't try to build the bridge between love and hate here?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about building those bridges now. And we need now probably more than ever to really be building those bridges rather than building walls, as some people have been trying to make us do for the last 5+ years.
I want to thank you for today. I want to ask you your personal message and what you want to leave us with, and you'll be back. But I encourage people to get a hold of you, to contact you, to invite you to their shows. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of shows that I know folks are going to have you on. It is such an important message And it's so beautiful the way you bring it and shed the light on it. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with? And how can people find out more about you and get your books?
Sure. So I think my message, if there's one thing that we could all do, just as a personal practice, is use what I call a multicultural gratitude practice, where you start to daily acknowledge and be grateful for things that are outside your own kind of racial spectrum.
Oh, man.
If we could all just do that one thing on a daily practice and rewire our brains with that one simple technique, I really think it would change the world. And again, the way people can find out more about me is go to my website, brettbevell.com. That's brettbevell.com. There's also a message the author button if you want to write me or have a question. You can also reach me on Facebook as well. Please also reach out. Anybody who does buy the book, you can also email me, and I'll give you a complimentary online course that goes along with the book as well.
Brett, thank you so much. I know that this is a progressive conversation. I know that you have stepped out. You faced yourself just as I do on a daily basis. We can't be stopped by our ignorance. We must move forward, because the only thing that replaces ignorance is knowing. Brett, thank you so much for getting out there, for talking out there, and for really passing the torch so the silence doesn't become so deafening that we don't even call it silence anymore. Thank you so much for all of that.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, my gosh. We're not done yet. We're going to take a short break and come back. I'm going to be talking about, the future of ethics in the Olympics, to dope or not to dope, the rope-a-dope. We'll be right back.
Know your own divine magic and extend peace and love to all with Reiki Master and author Brett Bevell. Brett offers empowering solutions with energy healing modalities, magical awakening, and psychic Reiki. Brett's latest book, Healing Racism Within, A Lightworker's Guide, draws on his own journey of growing up in a racist community and healing childhood trauma. For more on the most cutting-edge energy healing techniques, visit brettbevell.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Bettman. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBetton.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ellie Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Are you curious about who the Holy Spirit is, or whether or not the Holy Spirit is real, and even more so, how to connect with an invisible God on a deeper level? Join me, Dr. Lisa Kohut, on Making the Holy Spirit Famous every second and fourth Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Central Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to begin that relationship, to begin to deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit. To work with me, go to HolySpiritCoach.com. See you soon.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationPackRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationPackRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune in and turn on. I want to thank you for joining me. This is a conversation, Benny, that I needed to have for a little bit. And, so why did I feel like I need to have it? I've been reading the articles. I've been, listening to a little bit about what's happened, right, at the Olympics, especially in the arena of figure skating. And I'm a little baffled. And so here's the question. As I read about the debates that are happening back and forth by athletes, by previous athletes like Ms. Richardson, who was not allowed to participate because of the United States decision to bench her for marijuana, not the Olympic Committee decision, but the United States, right? So people are coming forward, and you hear originally what you heard when this was first discovered. You heard conversations about she's a minor, and nobody knew who the minor was because there are a bunch of minors that participate. But there was a minor that competed in the Olympics. We now know who she is. And it was revealed that she tested positively for a particular drug, which we're going to talk about today. But that wasn't the question. What happened thereafter is what became very confusing, at least to me. I'm an athlete. I competed in my younger years. There were rules back in the day, and there was no way that you were going to compete in something that you disqualified yourself by taking some other action for. It used to be very clear, pretty black and white. Pretty black and white. You take a test, you pass the test, or you don't pass the test, right? Now, am I oversimplifying it? Well, if you take a look, some of these people, and there's a lot of conversation about what the drug is. I'm going to tell you what the drug is. And believe me, I've talked to a couple of my doctor friends, but the question was, oh, it's not a performance enhancement drug. Well, I got to tell you, marijuana isn't either. So I'm not quite sure that argument holds up. It is on the list of substances you cannot take. That's it. So I was a little baffled by this. I thought, okay, all right. So we're going to just march along. And what's going to happen is, didn't pass the test, she's out. The team is out. They're out. They're gone. They're like Zippo, out. That's not what happened. And I didn't pay a lot of attention until I got a bunch of emails. And I said, okay, I've got to start to look at this. So what really is the issue? Why is it so hard to look at a situation that is very clear? You either have that drug in your system or you don't. See, I'm just like, that's me. I'm an athlete. We either passed the test or we didn't. You either had a urine analysis and you passed or you didn't. It was not like, oh, I may have passed. So I was a little baffled by this. So I talked to a couple of my friends, talked to some coaches, and this has become an issue that turned into a backstory. So what's the backstory? So one backstory is this happened to a minor and she's not responsible. Okay, maybe she's not responsible. But the Russian Olympic Committee, the ROC, they are responsible. The people, the members of the team, the leadership, they're responsible. And it doesn't matter that she's a minor and was not responsible. It doesn't really matter. Have you ever heard of a minor being picked for a DUI, picked up for a DUI? I just want to ask you, you ever hear about any of that? You see, it's really interesting in the conversation of this because I think, like so many of my you know, colleagues think, there's more at stake here than just our hearts going out for a superbly talented young woman, superbly talented young woman, who happens to be in the middle of a blood test that showed a drug that is not allowed in the Olympics. Who doesn't feel for this woman? But how we feel, is that going to be the thing that guides us in ethics and integrity? And that's the question today. That's why I wanted to talk about it, because I did some homework. I went back and I said, like, is she, how many people have been banned from a sport for testing? And how many of them have been sanctioned? So I'm not even talking about like, you can't participate in the Olympics. And by the way, you can't get the gold in either one of those events. I'm talking about people that are of equal caliber in sports that tested positively, right, and were banned, like banned for 2 years. Like this one person was banned for 8 years. So how do we separate the way we feel and the infraction? You know, it's not something that comes easy for us. But it really is the question for me, to dope or not to dope. That's really the question. I have been following also Ms. Richardson and her statement. And I don't know if her statement is true. I don't know if there is a question of race involved with this. I don't know. But perhaps we should look at that. Perhaps we should look at this. Perhaps this is, you know, a shame when we start to look at this issue in the Winter Games for this Russian figure skater, Kamila Valieva, under investigation, skated beautifully anyway. But is it really fair? So I'm thinking to myself, I'm the Canadian team who participated in a team event and I'm fourth. And then I started to think beyond that. I was talking to Linda about it. And I said, well, wait a minute. This isn't just one person that's involved now. Because these other athletes that I mentioned, and I just mentioned a few of them, there's a whole list. You can go in and you can find a list of every athlete, right? You can look. It tells you what year they were, like, kicked out of a sport or a competition. You can actually go in and find them all and see what country they're from, right? You can go through and you can just go through the whole list and you can see it. And then there's the question of the drug itself, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But am I oversimplifying it? Is there no room for heart? There's never really been room for heart in Olympics and sports and competitive sports. There's really never been an issue about if you compete and we find out you're taking steroids, let's say, you're gone. Lance Armstrong, gone. Boom, in a minute. But really, what are we talking about? Is it the fact that we're talking about a banned substance that people have now pretty much trying to say particular drug. Oh, what's the big deal? TMZ. That's what it's a TMZ. It's to treat, you know, the heart-related conditions. Okay, wait a minute. Why is a young skater on heart medicine? Okay, that was my first question to my doctor friends. Why is that? So you can start to go down the rabbit hole like I did. You know, you could start to see what are the questions we're asking? What are we in search for? Or is it really as black and white as Ms. Richardson said? Is it really that? You dope, you're out. It doesn't matter. If it's on the list, you dope, you're out. So then I wondered, why is this so hard? I mean, it's gut-wrenching for this young, superb athlete. It's gut-wrenching. But why is it so hard to make that decision, I wonder? See, I don't really understand that. I don't know how you all feel. 1-800-930-2819. And I know so many people reached out over social media in her defense saying it's not her fault, it's not her fault, it's not her fault. True. But that goes for any athlete that's under a jurisdiction of a leadership team of any country. It's probably not their fault either. But you're competing as a country, and your country is responsible. Think about it. See, that was hard for me to come to that. It's hard for me to say that. We are so unwilling to look at things that are so part of a black and white code of ethics. And I say we. I think generalizing is hard to do. As human beings that are following the story, it's so gut-wrenching. I just to watch this young woman and the talent. My gosh, it's like, what a waste. And yet, does that allow us to dismiss one of the utmost rules, in a championship level, high level sports competition? And that's really difficult. It's difficult. So this particular drug, I did a little research on it. One, the drug is not even approved in the United States for use. So I just want to say that. That's a whole different story. But it's used to treat heart-related conditions. It increases, here's the interesting thing about it, right? It increases blood flow to the heart, which limits rapid swings in blood pressure. So I love listening to the argument, oh, this drug, that is not going to do anything. It's not, that's not going to, it doesn't mean anything. But think about it. Think about a drug that regulates your blood pressure. Think about what blood pressure does, right? Think about any one of us that maybe have like a wacko blood pressure thing going on. You can't take it if you're in the United States. But let's just say we were. Gave us this sense of regulation that no other athlete competing could achieve. See, this is really the question. This is the question. Did it give one athlete over another an advantage in preparation for the sport? Because we go through the same thing with steroids, right? Oh, Joe took steroids for 6 months before he played the football game, but when he played the football game, hello, what we found out was, okay, he was not actually on steroids at the time. You know, he didn't test positively. He just took them over here because he was in the training, and it helped him in the training, so that doesn't count. But here's a question I'm trying to understand. Is it not as simple as doping or not doping? I know in the sports that I competed in, it was very clear. It was like, yeah, that that you just are not showing up like you have a clean set of blood work or urine analysis. You're just like, you're not going to, don't even come on a court. But I wonder why this case is so different. I wonder why this case is so different. But here's another question that I don't have an answer to. I wonder how you all feel about it. You know, I've competed in sports. I became ineligible to compete to become part of the U.S. team when I was playing very competitively because I accepted $10 for winning an event. And it was a $10 prize. I actually don't remember getting the 10 bucks. But that made me ineligible. And I remember showing up to compete to become part of the U.S. team. Stood a pretty good chance. And became immediately ineligible because that particular competition and taking $10 moved me from an amateur to a professional. And I remember the moment, and I remember crying. And it was just my coach, Sam, was like, Pat, what did you do? And I'm like, Sam, I don't even remember the competition because I used to compete every weekend. I happened to compete in one that gave money. And I cried. And I tried to give the $10 back. I remember being at the registration desk, you know, pulling out a $10 bill to give the $10 back. But no. And then I had to take responsibility for my ignorance. There was nothing I was going to be able to do or say that was going to change this team trial committee from allowing me to even compete. And I learned a lesson from that. Just because I wasn't aware doesn't make me non-complicit. And see, this to me, as I thought about doing this show today, and I thought about what happened to our young athlete who got caught up in marijuana smoking, got suspended for 30 days by the United States, who lost her mom, one of the fastest women on the track, yes, a woman of color, who's speaking out right now, and people want to say to her, your case is different. They want to say, your case is different because that was the United States. They want to try to convince her that her suspension for 30 days is different. The only difference that I see is that she's a woman of color. I don't see much difference, whether it's the United States or IOC or it's some other committee. I don't see the difference. If you dope, the answer is nope. It's that simple. If you dope, the answer is no. But I talked to a friend of mine who's on the team that's in fourth place. Friend of mine who is a friend of one of the athletes on the Canadian team. And we're not even talking about the impact on these people. See, this goes so much down, the further down the rabbit hole, because people in power and authority cannot make a decision. Cannot make a decision that is consistent with every other athlete that has come along. They cannot make that decision. And so the ripple effect from all of this, the ripple effect that we are discussing and talking about here, it's not about one athlete anymore. It's about all of the athletes that are competing today, all of the athletes that had to follow a particular rule, all of the athletes that are waiting. And let me just say this, my friend who just was crying, in tears because her niece could not go through an award ceremony maybe not the gold, but could not go through an award ceremony at the Olympics in Beijing. Do you see the ripple effect of this? It's not just about a young, very talented skater. It's about the inability to people in authority to being consistent and following the rules that we all know were set in place for a reason. And, you know, when I think about this, and I think about what we're talking about, and I think about Ms. Richardson, who is openly out in public, probably at risk for a lot of things, who is saying this is not different. You know, Shakari Richardson speaking out, saying this is not different. I wonder where the other athletes are. Are we afraid to ruffle feathers? What if you were sitting in fourth place and you knew that there was a team that was going to be awarded the gold medal in the Olympics that did not get there according to the standards and ethics of what the Olympic Games are meant to be like and meant to be? My friend put it really easily for me, especially about this particular drug. She said, it's really very simple, Pat. She said, I'm a medical doctor. I'm an environmental doctor. I work with athletes all the time. I'm familiar with the drug. She tried to explain to me how this drug was related to the skater's grandfather's medication. And she was trying to explain this to me. And I said, does any of that matter? Does the story of, I don't know, are we saying her grandfather gave it to her? Does any of that matter if the drug is in somebody's system? There are more questions that I have than not. But there's a reason that this drug was banned and the reason that it's not approved in the United States. It is to limit swings in blood pressure. It's to monitor the heart. It has been on the World Anti-Doping Agency's list as a prohibited substance since 2014 as a hormone and metabolic modulator. It's illegal for athletes to both use it in and out of competition, as it increases blood flow efficiency and improves endurance. End of the story. But now we wait, because people that are in leadership cannot make a decision, nor do they understand the impact of their lack of decision making to other athletes that are sitting and watching and thinking, other athletes that are waiting and have now been given a lost opportunity to stand on a podium and receive any medal that they've earned. I don't understand why this is so difficult, but maybe it's because I was an athlete for so many years of my life, and I really understand the rules and the regulations we follow. And I also understand that my ignorance about taking a $10 bill for a competition I won put me out of the running to participate in any amateur sports. And I cried, and I was sad. Then I was angry. And then I just looked at myself and my coach and said, that was really stupid, Pat.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. Well, over on I-5 northbound still, the access road around Mile 158. Looks like a disabled vehicle still parked. Good enough, State Patrol has been dispatched to the scene to take care of that disabled vehicle. Stay tuned, coming up next. After the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's the Healing Hour with Dr. Sharon Martin, bridging the mystical and scientific. Topic for the show, finding love, even in the darkest of places. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The CDC says the COVID Omicron surge is waning and case numbers are headed in the right direction. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said the agency is still assessing whether to relax mask guidelines.
We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing when these metrics are better, and then have the ability to reach for them again should things worsen.
Top White House COVID advisor Jeff Zients said the U.S. is moving toward a time when the deadly virus is not a crisis. The Ukrainian Defense Ministry website and banks are dealing with the largest cyber attack in the country's history. That's according to the Ukrainian Minister of Digital Transformation. It comes as Russia has gathered an estimated 150,000 troops at its border with Ukraine. All signs point to worsening inflation. The Labor Department says wholesale prices jumped a full percent in January. And second-generation farmer Brooks Barnes from North Carolina paints a bleak picture.
It's a gut-wrenching feeling to know that more than likely, at best this year, I'm going to break even, and that's at absolute best.
The price jump is double what economists expected. The reading comes as the CPI index shows consumer prices already running at a 40-year high. For the past 12 months, the producer price index rose a near-record 9.7%. R. Kelly is hiring a lawyer who appealed Bill Cosby's conviction. The singer cut ties with his current legal team and said he wanted Jennifer Bonjean to represent him in the case, which is set for a jury trial in August. He's awaiting sentencing in a New York City federal jail after being convicted of racketeering. Los Angeles will soon host its first championship parade since 2014. A parade celebrating the Super Bowl champion Rams will start at the Shrine Auditorium and end just over a mile later with a rally on the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum's Olympic Plaza. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford was asked if he'll be seen partying as hard as Tom Brady did last year when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl.
I got no problem with that.
The Rams overcame the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 on Sunday to win Super Bowl 56. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
This is Nathan Mum and Mike Rodet from Tech Time with Nathan Mum. Hey, Mike, it's been a couple weeks now, and we're on Kixie and on KKNW. What do you think about this great relationship?
I think it's fantastic.
It is. You know what? I can't believe the excitement that we've gathered with our Tech Time radio show. We're so excited to be broadcasting it out all over everywhere. And, of course, you can still always listen to it on KKNW 1150 Saturdays from 4 to 6 p.m. and on Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Don't miss out on the best technology news without having to geek out.
I think it's fantastic.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see some clouds and drizzle this morning, but making way to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 49, 50 degrees. Tonight, increasing clouds and low temperatures dropping down to about 40. For Thursday, more clouds and light rain expected. Highs around 48. The clouds will hang around for most of Thursday. Low temperatures back down to about 43. For Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a few sunbreaks. Highs around 49. With a chance of rain moving back in for Friday night, lows back down to about 41. For the weekend, mostly cloudy skies and light rain showers. High temperatures in the mid to upper 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This is the hour of healing power. In this live call-in show, The Healing Hour, I'm going to take your calls and help you get started on your way to your maximum potential. So come on, settle in, listen up, and I'll take your questions head on. Together, we'll find practical wisdom and understanding about what ails you. In The Healing Hour, we'll start your day off right. Insights and practical health knowledge, the concepts for how you really live. I'll take your issue and help guide you with a blend of scientific medicine and the esoteric, including shamanic energy medicine. So let's shake off some of that mystery and get started on how to really live. Together, let's get unstuck. So come on and join in, join us, and let me help.
and let go of what holds you back from being the maximum you the world needs. Take down this call-in number, 1-800-930-2819, and let's get started on the healing hour right now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin. I'm here with Dr. Pat, Maximum Medicine, and because it's all, we just passed Valentine's Day, so today we're going to talk about love. That cornball emotion that's really not so cornball. But we need to talk about how you can really find it, even when you don't want to, even when you think it's not possible. Right, Pat? Even in the darkest places.
You know, I can't tell you how many years of my life I thought I was unlovable. How many years? But not quite understanding it the way you're going to talk about it today. Because we have gone through some dark places in the past 2.5-3 years.
Yeah.
And if you hear people talk about how alone they have felt, how disconnect, you know, how not so good they were treated. I could see why you want to do this show today.
Well, you know, for me, and for many people, so what I'm saying that isn't about making me unique or special. I just want to share sort of an insider scoop on what it's like to be a doc in rural America on the front lines when you've got the political polarization and COVID. And every day is something disruptive. Every day is something that makes you afraid. Every day, for me, I'm speaking for me. And I was working in an organization that was undergoing a lot of financial distress, and that made them act in because out of their fear. And I was stressed to the max. And I have to say, not always charitable. Very, very intolerant of what I thought was stupid actions and wrong actions. And even to the place where, you know, I'm in a medical office. I want you to wear a mask. I don't want to be surrounded by 25 people a day coughing on me. So you have signs on two doors as people come in. Please wear a mask. This is a medical office. And people come in and they don't have a mask on. You have to say, put a mask on. I don't want to. Well, we want you to. I don't want to. And then you have, am I going to argue? Or am I just going to say, sorry, this is the rules. Please put a mask on, or we'll do your visit by phone or something. Finally, this summer, I think I hit a point where I realized that this aggravation, anger, distrust, intolerance was eating me up. That I had stayed in my own dark places, that I had realized that I was looking at everything with a jaundiced eye, like, this is no good, and this is bad, and this is... And I worked actively, spiritually worked to turn everything over in the vein of love. And that's kind of where this show is about for me, because I changed my inner world, my inner life, which changed my outer life, by turning it over to love. Even if I didn't feel it, if I released to it, and for me the symbol was Mother Mary, and not because of Christianity or because of her being the mother of Jesus, but because she represents to me the ultimate of love and compassion in the worst settings possible, watching your son be crucified. And the symbol also that I used was that of roses, and you see the roses in the background, a present from my good friend Dr. Pat and Jessica and Linda. But I started actively working to turn things over and bring the light, the love, into my dark places. And it shifted. So, Pat, that's what I kind of want to talk about today is, you know, what is it do to you to stay in the darkness where everything's angry? And then how do we get out of it? So tell me about you.
Well, I have to tell you that I learned this in a 12-step program, and it took me a lot of years in my life to get there. And, you know, I'm not going to spend time talking about that program. Many people are familiar with them. There are many of them for different things. But they have a process, and their process is probably one of the most grueling processes. Because of the inner work. And when they say this is a 12-step program, there are 12 steps, and you go through those steps. And
you can't make it 5 or 7.
No, you can't. And you can't jump over. You can't say, I am not going to do the fear inventory today, Sharon. I'm not going to do my fear inventory. And you especially can't do the one that says it's time to make amends. But I love what you're talking about. I love what you're talking about. You know, this morning, I don't know why, but from time to time, I will try to have the sense to read Emmett Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these little teeny books. And I picked this up this morning. And this is Emmett Fox talking about a treatment against fear. Fear will escalate hate.
Mm-hmm.
Love will annihilate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we could stop right here and say, okay, everybody, let's do that. See how simple that is? I don't know about you, but I bet on your part it took you a lot of reflection to go from that place that you were to where you are today. A lot of
it. It's really hard work.
Yeah.
And the hard part for me, for each person will be different, but I'll share one of my inner darknesses. I like to be in control. I like to be right, and I like to make good decisions. Now, that's great when you're a physician and you're calling the shots and learning what to order for somebody. But if you're not in control and you're somebody's employee and you can't run your, it's not your private office anymore. I used to have a private office. That's really hard. That's one of my hard, I was on the hard step, which must have been, I don't know, you're not that important, might be the name of the step for. You're not in charge anymore, or we really don't care what you say, so just go be. So that for me, and every day I find it hard to release my need, especially if, of course, here comes the ego talking. If you think, and sometimes I think this, that you might be the smartest person in the room and that the decision ought to be to you because you can see all the moving pieces, and therefore when somebody does something you think is particularly ignorant, so therefore I should still stay in charge. Well, turning it over for me, and for me the love place was I am still good enough. I am still valuable. I still matter, even when I'm not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was me finding my love, self-love, in the dark place.
Yeah. Just for the record, that's the first step. The first step, you fill in your own blank. Just for the record, the first step is you have to admit you're powerless over whatever the thing is. If it's alcohol, if it's drugs, if it's control, you know, it's we admitted we were powerless over control, that our lives have become unmanageable. And so when you think about that, you know, you have hit a wall with whatever that condition is in that dark place. You know, it is a place of unmanageability at some aspect of your life. Now, for some people, Sharon, it's a lot of aspects of their lives, right?
Right.
But when that thing that you mentioned, right, when that starts to make other places in your life unmanageable, like you bring it home, right? Like you have nowhere to go with it. Like you go to the next level of worry. And it could be about anything. You know, there are people,
and you take your irritability into every other situation.
Thank you.
And that's crazy town.
That's a really good sign of unmanageability.
And then you're off to the races of spiraling out of control when all you wanted was control.
Yes.
So, and that turning it over, though, and I like that it's the first step because it's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
A big one for me. But I don't know who was it. Was it Alan Watts who wrote a book about the wisdom of insecurity?
Oh, my God.
Well, you are trying so hard to be in control, and then you realize you have no control. Well, you know, there's really a lot of control in deciding to not give a you-know-what.
Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny we're talking to this. I'll tell you what my latest dark place is, because we're talking about dark places. And dark places don't ever, this is not just about you and your intimate partner. See, we're talking about finding love in all the dark places. And I love that we're talking about this because it isn't what all you all may think. That's why we'd love to have you call in. We'd love to hear from you. What is your dark place? 1-800-930-2819. So I had this opportunity, Sharon. It's really a great opportunity. It's going to enable us to do a lot of things really quickly. And I had to go through and do some paperwork and do some stuff. And I'm working with a group of people that are experts. And one of the things is that we had to make some adjustments so that my credit reports reflected the reality. Here's what you learn when you're working with organizations that have such an impact on you, right? Anybody out there that knows anything about credit and credit reports, you know what I'm talking about. Or maybe you don't know about it.
You mean impact as in?
They control
the
way the entire world sees you and can make decisions about your worthiness in the financial arena. But I went through everything. But I got stuck at step one. I'm about to be in a dark place. I'm not there today, but here is my dark place. It was like emailing incessantly once an hour to Jeremy, poor guy. Jeremy, should I call Experian? Is there something I could do? Should I call? And then I remembered I am powerless over this dark place. I have no action possible that I could do that gets Experian to fix this thing. They have till March 9th. They may take till March 9th. So am I going to ruminate and stay in the dark space every day trying to get somebody to do something that I have absolutely no power for them to do?
Is it any wonder why people go off the grid? I mean, really. Because one of the answers, and on a small level, and off the grid is a big level, is if you can, get out of the game. If the game is rigged, maybe you don't want to be playing. Get yourself out of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take a short break here, but when I come back, I want to talk about the dark place where we don't find love for ourselves and how important that is just to start. That's the step one of finding love.
And I'm glad you're going to talk about this when you come back, because darkness can ruminate, it can accelerate, and it can grow. It's like a mold, right?
It can be an addiction.
It's the mold that we keep throwing water on. Let's take that short break, Benny, Jacob. We'll be right back.
About impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? The Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Courtney Cottrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goals? Fourth, use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you've reached your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Naomi Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and NaomiDyer.com.
Anybody beside me just loves Leonard Cohen, even when he goes dark in the lack of self-love there, but He finds the light again. I like that. Pat, I think the hardest part, yes, this summer, my shift, and every day it's an active decision to let it go. But, you know, it kicks you up, and I'll talk about this energetically. It kicks you up a level. If you think about different levels of energetics with, and we'll assign kind of a good but better scale to it. It kicks you up to a level of when you let it go, you don't have all that constant worry, looking, thinking, should I be in charge here? Is this a decision I should be making? Or what about this? What if I make the wrong one? And, you know, when you just say, I'm sure my blood pressure went down when I decided to do that. But what it also did is it took me to a place of self-love because I am still important and valued and respected, even if I'm not calling the shots. And it took me to a place where finding that love brought such peace So as Pat was saying on break, the rewards for having done that hard thing are exponential in terms of how you feel better than you did before. Don't you think, Pat?
I think they are. You know, if we could hold on, and just wait for the miracle. See, I think that's really what we have to learn, right? But that's the part that we don't really help others with. You know, we don't help others to really learn. And this is the work you do, Sharon, right? When people, you know, there is a place that you may be out now that is dark. And there is a way to move from that darkness. You may have to go through and do some things. Like I had to do some things to get off ruminating over something I had no control over. Right? I mean, how many times are you going to email the guy and ask him the same question?
He was going to block your email.
No, he's very good. He replies back and he says, yeah, very kind. He replies back and he said, you know, thank you for offering, but no, there's nothing we could do. It's just a matter of waiting now. And he says, I check on it every day. But I had to go to my toolbox. See, I have a toolbox now. I didn't have a toolbox when I was younger, and my mom did not have a toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had some part of it, but she didn't have a toolbox to help her with the dark. She didn't. She was basically alone. She was stymied and silenced on purpose. But see, in today's world, this is what you're doing because you know it, you've learned it, and now you're going to help others because we have people that are really embedded in dark places right now.
So just a quick aside, if anybody wants my help, and I'm happy to be there and help you guys, drsharonmartin.com, drsharonmartin.com. And you can email me the contact and all of that is on the website. So that's the work I do. That's the work of my passion. That's the work of my art. I love my medical work. I love the science. I love helping people. But this is a notch up there for me. So how do we get somebody out of the darkness? Or how do we get somebody to bring love in when everything feels so unlovable, including yourself?
Yeah, especially yourself, right? Even if we don't admit it, right at the core of that, we're just not looking in the mirror giving ourselves kisses.
And, you know, it's a hard step to go immediately to loving yourself. I think, for me anyway, I had to practice expressing my love for other things. I had to practice dropping my vulnerability and complimenting somebody. This has been an ongoing, you know, inward journey of mine. I had to practice expressing joy. I had to practice being happy about something. And so I think my suggestion would be that's where you should start. So you look around and your job isn't paying you enough money to really excel in life. You just broke up with your boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't feel that great. Your boss is kind of a jerk. Your car keeps breaking down and you're not sure you have enough money. You don't find much to be joyful about. I mean, I'm going to just say I wouldn't. But what, and maybe we start at the energy of something as, I won't say small because it's not small, but anyway, something as basic as gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's sort of like, that's like the rung on the ladder towards love. Gratitude, appreciation. There's always, for me, I have to go to nature. I can't be without nature. There's always that, oh, look, the rabbit came out from the thicket and he's sitting in the sun. or, oh, look, you know, it must be almost springtime, the cardinal's at the bird feeder. So for me, that's how I build my awareness of something beautiful, my awareness of something that's right with the world. What about you, Pat? What do you...
Yeah. You know, I think that I have to go back on what I know works for me. And, you know, I have a lot of kits in my toolbox because I've had a lot of things I've had to change about me in my life. And, you know, when I think about that, I didn't wake up one day and just change. Here's what happened. I woke up one day and I looked in the mirror and I was unrecognizable to myself. And I know exactly what year that was. I know exactly where I was. That was my first step. Looked in the mirror, big house, sports car, truck, pedigree collie, 4.7 acres, on my way out to my big executive job, checking myself in the mirror before I go. I remember that. I remember just saying to myself, I don't recognize you. Mm-hmm. That was one of the greatest gifts I've ever gotten because that was haunting to me. It was, you need to really look at this closer. And I had to tease that apart for about 4 or 5 years to come. And then after that. But once I got it, and what you're talking about is finding that ray of light in a very, very dark place. I mean, it is the dark side of the moon. But knowing that even on the dark side of the moon, ultimately there will be some days where the light will come in. And then you got to do the work. I don't know about you, but I was never able to get out of it by myself. I knew something was wrong, and I knew I had to change. But I wasn't the person you're looking at today. I didn't have the tools today. I didn't have interviews with people like you, Doc Martin. I didn't have any of that going on. But the first step for everybody listening is, if you're in that dark place, recognizing you're in that dark place, that is the first step to freedom. The next step is then to recognize that you have to do something to help yourself. Now, there's some people, Sharon, that can do it.
That's overwhelming, though. That's, you know, to somebody who's really down in there, you know, help yourself. It's sort of like you're just flabbergasted. How? What do I don't have any tools. And that's where, if you can, for me, this goes along with my control freak personality, to be vulnerable enough to open up to somebody from whom you can learn or from whom you can ask for help or from whom you can even read a book or take a class about new ways of thinking. And that is a courageous step. In fact, probably a really big one.
Some people have to hit a bottom. Now, I don't know how else to say it. Everybody's bottom is different. You know, your bottom may have been complete overwhelm, right? You know, there's a point that you get to where you say no mas. Even if you don't say it out loud, you know there's just not one more bit of whatever it is that you're willing to take. See, that is you helping yourself. Because if you can't recognize it, chances are everybody around you does, and sometimes you may have a best friend that will say to you, you know what? You're floundering. See, when I hear those words from my best friend, that is enough for me to stop, to realize, yeah, I get what that looks like and feels like. But you know, Sharon, there are some people that don't have the tools. Mm-hmm. There are some people that have to really reach out and work with someone like you, right? And so dark places have different degrees to them. Yeah. Right? There are different degrees. And I think that's what you're going to talk about when we come back, you know, because even the darkest place, a little bit of love can change you. That's what I found in Linda's mom. I was basically depressed for most of my life. But when you're a youngster and a woman like Joan notices that you cannot lift up your head to look her in the eye and she calls you on it and she talks to you about why that's important and how important it is for her to look into your eyes, to really connect with you, and you've never had anybody to do that to you, you change. So when we come back from break, you're going to take us on a journey on how a little bit of love, I got to tell you, as uncomfortable as that, that was the first time I met Joan, by the way. First time. That thing right there that she did, I never, ever, ever walked with my head down or talked to people with my... That one thing was a ray of light for me by somebody that could see the pain I was in. And even if it sounded like a little bit of authoritarian Joan with those blue eyes, it changed my life. I want to talk to you about that when we come back. What happens when we place even the little bit of love into the dark? Even a little bit. Little bit of love into the dark. What happens to that? Have you ever tried that? Have you ever tried to put yourself in a very, 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 very dark room? I mean a dark room, like a photography room. Extremely dark. And simply turn on the smallest of smallest wattages that you find. Tell me what you see. Will you still see the dark? Or will you see the light? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back with Dr. Mark.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Trust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Coach Martez.
And I'm licensed therapist with Dreamalation.
We want to invite you to join us on the Coach Martez and with Dreamalation show, where we discuss understanding love, accepting truth, and changing your perspective.
Relationships are the currency to life, and so many couples find themselves broke in their relationships. We want you to join us for a lively discussion and practical tips and insights on how to turn things around and gain the marriage for life mindset.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. Dottie Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232. Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin. We're here on the Healing Hour. I'm with Dr. Pat. And I want to spend the last few minutes we have on this because energetically, well, that's what I do when I'm not being a traditional medical doctor. I'm a shamanic healer and energy medicine person. So I like to think of things as how can we energetically, meaning of our energy field and how it extends around us and touches other things, how can we help bring the love into the dark places? Pat, I want to talk about that because we have to start, small is not the right word. It might seem insignificant the way you start. It might seem like, you know, it's not like symbols and tubas and the big parade coming down the street. But we've got to start with the basics. Well, you guys have heard me over and over. I love nature. I am hooked on a feeling. Even beyond loving it, being in nature actually has incredible energetic power to reconnect you, to restore you, and to make you feel, again, if you haven't felt it, especially when you're in a dark place, to make you feel like you belong. I'm going to tell you a simple thing to do, but I want to give you a little bit of background. And I learned this little scientific fact the other day, although I think I instinctively knew it. We have a mineral, it's an iron compound called magnetite in our brains, as do many other animals. And we are able to sense the magnetic grids of the earth. And other animals use it for directional, for honing, for knowing their place, where they were born and what they returned to. You literally are connected to the earth through your magnetics. That's one of your deepest ways you're connected. And when you're connected to the earth, you are connected to life force. And I'm learning a lot more about this from one of my teachers, Dr. Patrice Fields. Life force is what courses through your body. It keeps your heart pumping. It keeps your cells and all of their machinery going. And unless you are literally dying, you have life force. So the very most fundamental to bring yourself that love feeling into the dark places and to reconnect you and restore you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to find a place in nature. Now, if you live in the inner city, find a small park where there's a bit of grass. Perhaps you have a balcony that you have some flowers this time of year. In some places, might be too cold, but find something that you can connect with in nature. preferably where you can go and sit on the ground. Why am I saying sit on the ground? When you sit on the ground, your energy forces that energetically go down the column of your spine from your crown chakra to your root chakra, that energetic flow will anchor to the earth. Why do we care about anchoring to the earth? Anchoring to the earth connects us energetically, and you know, remember, I think I've told you before, we have an energy field. It used to look like an egg. It's been a little squished in our high-tech world. That energy field resonates with everything it's in contact with, and it resonates really well with the earth. The earth has such a powerful energy field that if you've got glitches in your software, if you've got little short circuitings and that column of energy going down from crown to root is, you know, short circuiting, firing, whatever, you sit on the earth. Sit on the earth, and that flow reconnects you. And all of those glitches are absorbed by the powerful sink, S-I-N-K, of the earth's energy field. So that is draining off all of your out of control, short circuiting, wasted little zips and flips of energy. When you sit there and you connect, then I want you to move your awareness to your heart space. And I teach this. I don't know if you have heard, but I'm writing a book of basically ways you can heal yourself, shamanic ways. And one of the key practices that I teach is a modification of something taught by Drenvalo Melchizedek, who's a very high vibrational spiritual teacher who lives in Sedona, connected to the Hopi. It's called the Earth Sky Heart Meditation, and I'll give you my sort of dumbed down version. Sit on the earth, connect to your heart space. Where's your heart? Maybe you can't even feel your heart. You're aggravated. You don't want to look for your heart. Then focus on your breath. And your breath is pumping. As your breath pumps, that is linking to your life force. If you can bring your awareness into your heart space, even better. And then try your very best to send your essence down a golden channel into the center of the earth. And that's where Pat says, find the littlest bit of light. Just your breath and your heart pumping alone are in essence. So grab onto that. If you can't feel anything else, grab onto that. You are alive. If your heart's beating and you're breathing, you are alive. Grab onto that essence, that basic fundamental of life force. And send that down to the earth and connect. And then feel what it feels like when you feel it coming back. I guarantee you that you will feel connected and restored and that you belong. Now, the other thing that we are energetically connected to and that our life force depends on is the energetics of the galaxy, of the stars, of the universe, and the universes beyond. So as you're sitting here, and you've anchored yourself to the earth, and you feel yourself in connection, breathing, feeling, send a column of light up to the sky, to what you feel about the heavens. Maybe you consider the angels, maybe you consider Orion, the constellation, maybe you are crazy about the moon. Send a column of connection of your life force, of your energetic essence up to the sky. The sky, I mean that as the heavens, the galaxy, the stars, the planets, and connect with that. You see, humans are uniquely positioned in the holy trinity of earth, sky, and heart. And we cannot live, and that is an absolute, we cannot live without the earth or the galaxy. We cease to exist. And our connection to those is what the ancients knew when they saw our human evolution out into the future and what we shamanically call as dreaming. They saw the future by their knowledge and their feeling of this connection. And when they were feeling it, they were able to feel how it flowed forward. And you can do that for yourself personally. Feel that connection. Remind yourself of your belonging. Breathing the whole time. And if you keep doing that, I guarantee that the darkness will lift. Because not only are you connecting to something bigger than yourself, you're connecting to what the indigenous knew was the key relationship of existence. And when you connect with that, your energy field improves. You download information from spirit. You upload restorative energy from the earth and vice versa. And you fill up your energy field with the basic, most integral relationship there is. So nature, breathing, connect down to the core of the earth. And just, you can even sit if you like to visualize. Imagine the magnetite in your brain linking up to the ferric oxide iron core crystal of the earth. Then send your awareness up to the sky. Tap into the galactic, all of those motions of the planets, the orbits, the elliptical, the turning, the solar flares, they are all influencing the earth and in turn influencing us. Tap into it. Take in the power. Allow it to build and breathe and fill you up. And then the light comes in, and you keep doing that, and you can restore the darkness. And when you feel that, I believe you'll feel how valuable you are, because you are in that integral relationship, and therefore what your future is pulls us all forward. When you connect to the earth and the sky, you're going to see yourself moving forward and just going to bring that whole human evolution to bear. And anyway, I think it sounds simple, but it's powerful. And I think you'll really, really find a love in your that connection.
Yeah. I love that you're talking about it and talking about it so beautifully. And, you know, part of this, too, is when I listen to what you're saying, I mean, I can reflect on exactly that moment in time. And I'm a kid that grew up where her dad cemented the backyard, right? I mean, but, you know, what I want to say about it is my experience with my stepmom's family down in the South was so freeing. And you know what I'm really drawn to is I've watched people that I know that are very, very high blood pressure, stress people, give them a little shovel and some things to plant, or give them the lawn to mow. They are completely transformed. Yes, it's work, but that's not the point. And I think what you're sharing is we have to find that place gives us that light from within. And what you shared was a way that anybody listening here can do it.
You know, I was just, as you were talking about that, I was just remembering, and correct me if I have it wrong, I think it was Victor Frantz, who was a psychiatrist in concentration camp.
Frankl, yeah, Victor Frankl.
And somehow, a little dandelion grew up in a crack in the cement in those horrid conditions. And in seeing that life force, he was able to find meaning in his life. And so talk about a dark place. And I think that's where the power of nature, the power of something that's alive, a stream, a tree, a cloud. That's where our salvation is going to be if you can't find it. The human world is complicated and sometimes not so good.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can keep bringing ourselves back to that prime connection, that prime connection is where our future, our evolution, and our salvation lies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that you've made this available for anyone. You know, we have to gift ourselves the gift of time. You know, we have to put aside all the reasons why we cannot act in a way that connects us back to the light.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the most important things, I think, for all of us to learn, because, you know, when you're living in the dark, it's extremely difficult to think you're deserving of taking 5 or 10 minutes. And yet it's probably one of the greatest things you can do, not for yourself, but for the people around you, too. Because when you started the show, Sharon, you talked about, you know, how you shifted and what that change was like. What I think is one of the most stressful scenarios for someone like you to be in. You know, the fact that you're putting
when
yourself...
When you're a control freak and you have no control.
Well, I went through the same thing. And, you know, I caught myself. I went through the same thing because it's not so much that I thought, you know, you're not wearing a mask, that we're going to catch something, right? There are so many restrictions in the public places I go where it's a condition of us to be there, right, that I went mm-hmm. through a whole different fear base. Like, if one of us gets caught without their mask, oh, my God, they're going to shut us down, right? Now, if you stay in that dark place for more than 3 seconds, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for today. Please tell folks how they can get a hold of you, and I'd love to know your personal message. Thank you, Dr. Sharon Martin, everybody.
So, you guys, look at my website. Besides, look at it anyway. It's really beautiful. Dr. Pat designed it. DrSharonMartin.com, DrSharonMartin.com. I have a lot of tools that I can help with. So energetically, shamanically, even I have a lot of meditations. But I have a lot of things on my website, and how to connect with me is there. I'd love to help. I love that we, in doing these shows, and those of you who then go to the Transformation Talk Radio website and look at the archived podcasts, all of us are putting our energy in to make a difference on the planet, to move it in the direction we believe humanity ought to go. And that's my message. If I can help you shift a little bit so the you that you bring forward is better and more able to push us in the right direction, that's what I'm here for.
Thank you for listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, The Healing Hour, with me, Dr. Sharon Martin, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We're going to be together the third Wednesday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific for candid, honest conversation to help you change the way you think about healing, about yourself, about your life. Did you hear your answer on the show? Well, I will be with you next month, ready for all your questions from energy medicine, healing, and beyond. Healing is slow movement and destination. But are you stuck? What is your true destiny line? Listen in, call in, and let the world know. Together, we'll choose what brings you into healing and let you call in all the power of the universe to act on your behalf. Reclaim your path. To learn more about me, Doc Martin, and The Healing Hour,